What's going on? Welcome back, everyone, to the Raptors TOT Cast, brought to you by tipofthetower.com. I'm Chris McCranis, and joining me, as always, is DeMar Graham. We took last week off because, we'll be honest, it wasn't much Raptors news, so it was a perfect time to take a little vacay here. But we're back this week. We're going to be talking about the Rio Olympics, specifically Lowry, DeRozan, Team USA, little JV mix in there, too. The schedule that just got released for the season, we'll be breaking that down, and then we're going to talk about DeMar's little theory here about why the Raptors are kind of stuck on the NBA treadmill or trying to figure out what success is. We'll get into all that stuff. But first, DeMar, how you doing, man?
Doing great. I feel refreshed. It's like going to the gym and then you take a week off. Come back. You just pump iron. It's like I've never been as strong as I have been right now in my entire life.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way with that analogy then. Somebody who does not look like that, though, is Jonas Valanciunas. I know you've probably been watching the Olympics too. Tonight he played and he just looks tired and almost out of shape, dare I say it. Like, he kind of looks just out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of it's weird to see, man, because usually whenever a player goes to the Olympics, they typically come back from the Olympics better than they were before, but that's usually because they're playing well in the Olympics. He's not playing well at all, dude. Turnovers are crazy.
Well, he's somebody who plays with a lot of energy, too, right? Like, we saw during the postseason, a lot of energy, a lot of emotion. He always just seems to bring it for the time he's in there. And I'm not saying he's not playing with emotion and some energy for his country, but he just looks like a different player. He doesn't look good, to be honest. Like, I think he's just happy to be there, but he's not, you know, thrilled to be playing in the Olympics. It's just more of being a part of the Olympics that's appealing as opposed to, like, playing in it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're – okay, he was injured for a couple weeks during the playoffs, so shouldn't he still have energy to play?
Well, I guess this is his rehab. Is that fair? Like a little rehab stint? This is his, like, pre-rehab, you know?
Playing
in AAA?
For European teams, you know, the Olympics is actually pretty significant, you know.
It is.
Actually win a medal for their country. Like, for the NBA, for, like, NBA players from the U.S., it's kind of like a – I wouldn't say secondary thing, but it's just like outside of whatever they usually care about. So, you know, JV, I don't know. He just feels like something's up.
It's a different style of basketball, too. I know people like to harp on that a lot. Like, you look at a guy like Pau Gasol. I know off the air I said to you, I feel like he's arguably one of the greatest international players ever, because every time I watch this guy play FIBA rules, it's just, wow, he just lights out. And not to diminish what he does in the NBA, but watching him play in FIBA rules, he's even more efficient than I ever thought he could be. And it's just like, man, he's getting older and he just seems to never age. It's weird.
Yeah, dude, that's the passing. Just like, his game is pretty graceful. Got passing, shooting, you know, post touch. So
yeah, he's elegant.
It helps in the FIBA game. Just because, like, not everybody's as skilled as in the NBA. So being able to have, like, multiple ways to utilize a player, it helps you be better than everybody else, basically, just because you have more tools that some people only have one or two. You have four or five.
Well, he's got, like, a whole assortment of things, like you were saying, which I think is perfect for the way Spain plays. They kind of like to move the ball around and get everybody involved. I know we said we were going to talk about the Olympics, like, at the end, but you know what? Let's just keep rolling with it, because I feel like it's just too fitting. It's the hot topic right now for everybody that's actually watching basketball. Aside from the schedule being released, which is exciting, but at the same time, we're just, like, prognosticating games that we can't really, you know, put too much emphasis on yet. Seriously, though, I mean, like, we can go through every single game or month by month and be like, yeah, you know what, the Raptors are going to go 9-3 this month. But we can't account for, like, injuries or a whole bunch of other things, so it's just dead air summer talk, in my opinion. I feel like the Olympics is a little bit more appealing at the moment, especially because I feel like we got robbed of Andre Nocioni. I know a lot of people may not remember who he was, but he played for the Chicago Bulls back in the day, back in the mid-2000s there. And if you look at the way this guy plays now, he's obviously a bit older, in his mid to late 30s. I think he could be one of the best stretch fours that we would have ever seen in this generation. I mean, he rebounds well, he plays aggressive, he shoots a three, and we never got to see that as, like, frequently back then. I don't know how much you've been watching him play, but he's somebody who's really impressed me so far for an old guy.
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of him, like, the physicality of his game, you know, like, he has, like, a really nice touch, just, like, feel for the game in general. So it's great, you know, it'd be great to see that in today's NBA, where, like, the st- style of play have gotten more European, where it's a lot more free-flowing, passing, a lot of touch with the ball, shooting of the ball, versus, like, you know, early 2000s and, you know, earlier, where we're trying to muscle the ball into the net. It's a shame.
Yeah, because he's somebody I liked watching play back then, but, like, watching this Olympics, it might be nostalgia speaking right now. I mean, he is shooting 44% from three, but so is Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
So, what about Nando DeColo, actually? Raptors have the rights to him. He's looked great with France.
Yeah, man. I can't wait until they actually, you know, have him on the, like, I can't wait to actually see him play again in the NBA. Is he coming over to the NBA again?
Not this year. He's actually re-upped with Moscow over there. So
why? playing the world's greatest league, man.
You'd think, but the money's got to be pretty good for him.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you get the money, and plus you get to live, like, closer to your actual home. You know, that's actually, you know, that's a factor in anybody's life, getting to live closer to home.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's a big thing.
While working, so.
So when you're looking ahead here, before we get to Team USA, USA is going to play Argentina next. And Argentina's trio of the old guys, which is Nocioni, Ginobili, and Luis Scola, you know, our dear beloved Luis Scola, who ended up becoming a statue, which is no fault of his, but it's old legs. They're killing it, the old guys, for Argentina. They look really good. And I think Argentina's going to give the U.S. a pretty decent game coming up.
The U.S. look like this is probably the worst iteration of a USA national basketball team that there's ever been. Probably since, like, the bronze team. This is, like, it's just pretty bad, man. Like, the pieces don't seem to fit.
No, they don't play defense. I don't know if that's by choice or if that's by roster construction or what it is, but they don't do it.
Dude, when they have DeMarcus Cousins and, like, Kyrie Irving on the court at the same time, it's just, like, basically having Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving on the court, which it shouldn't be because DeMarcus Cousins is actually, like, a good defender.
Then you got Paul George mixed in there with a little Carmelo Anthony sprinkled in, and then, you know, insert here next, possibly Jimmy Butler. It's a weird, weird combination they're running.
Yeah, and they're running to this problem where they're getting Eurofouled, which is basically on the fast break. Like, somebody will just, like, tug somebody's arm to stop the fast break.
Yep.
So, like, it's hurting their transition opportunities. So if they do get steals on defense, like, they just have no way to score off of it because they just stop play.
Well, Kevin Durant, when he's dribbling with the ball, too, he doesn't look comfortable right now, which is kind of bizarre because he's a guy that can handle the ball well, but he's kind of just relegated himself to a spot-up shooter. I mean, which is still lethal, but it's just not the Kevin Durant we're used to seeing.
It's hard to play next to Kyrie Irving. That's what it's like. I've really learned this year. It's just like Kyrie is such a... He's not a black hole, but he's just like a...
He's an acquired taste, man. Like, if he's that strong drink that only some people like, and, you know, those that do, it works for them, but the majority don't. And I feel like LeBron just had to, like, adopt that this year, and he's like, whatever, I'll like it. And he found a way to make it work.
With him on your team, you need to have, like, he's a point guard, but he's, you know, he's, the positions were, like, designed for people to understand, but point guard doesn't necessarily always have to be the primary passer. So he's the primary ball handler on the team, but there's no, like, true passer on the U.S. team that the previous U.S. teams had. Like, the previous U.S. teams had, like, Wayne Wade, LeBron James, CP3, like, those are pure passers, right?
Yeah, like,
team has nothing compared to that.
I'd say arguably their best facilitator of an offense on this roster is a guy who doesn't play a lot. That's Draymond Green. He's playing like 11 minutes a night right now, and he just doesn't look like he fits in there. But I feel like he is arguably their best facilitator.
He is, and there's just like the way his play style is, like, he's receiving the pass and then he makes, like, he basically acts as the hockey assist for somebody else.
Yeah, or right. He's almost like the second assist, like, if that's what you mean right. By the hockey assist.
Yeah, right, but since there's nobody making that initial pass to get him the ball so he can make, like, the second pass, right, all the players that are on the team right now are like, I do my thing and you're open, I pass it to you, you finish it. When he's on the Warriors, it's like, I do my thing, I give it to you, you just add a little bit, like, you add the sprinkles onto the ice cream, and then pass it to the next person, and we finish it. But since, you know, the U.S. team isn't capable of doing that right now, it doesn't really have a use.
Well, it's funny because I know the Kyrie and even you know, our beloved Kyle Lowry, those lovers, the fans out there are going to be like, listen, Kyrie's got 6 assists these Olympics. That's what he's averaging per game. Lowry's got 4 assists per game. The team's averaging 26 a night. They're fine. But, I mean, if you actually watch the games, you're going to be like, the ball's not whipping around as much as you'd think for FIBA play.
Yeah, like if you, okay, for example, like if you watch the Cavs and the Warriors play, you know, LeBron is like still getting his like 25, like 7-7, right? But his 7 assists are way different than...
Oh, of course.
Like seven assists like Draymond Green would be getting, right?
Yeah, night and like, day difference.
The difference, like the counting stat is still the same, but the process to get the statistic is completely different.
I feel like that's fair, but let me ask you this then. Do you feel like we're kind of overanalyzing something that is maybe not as important to these guys like the Olympics? Or is this, you know, kind of fair to question this roster and the way these guys are playing?
Absolutely fair, because if they don't win gold, then everybody on this roster is getting a really, really hard look, and so is Coach K.
So chip, like I know it's always gold medal or fail for the U.S. It just has to be, right? That's like part of the way it works for them.
No, this year it's like it's different because like everybody is starting to notice the cracks.
Okay.
They're just like, yeah.
Well, I feel like this team is ripe for an upset.
Like, all you know. We wouldn't be talking about this if, like, LeBron James was, you know, catapulting the team and, like, they're winning by 40. They're winning by, like, 6, 3,
they're barely beating teams.
Right? They're barely beating teams, and people are like, yo, this team isn't actually well-built. And, like, people see the holes, and I'm like, you know, if we see the holes, then opposing teams do. So, it's bad, man. Like, it actually looks bad right now.
I agree. Like I just said, I feel like they're ripe for an upset, and... we might actually see it unless they make some adjustments. What about the Raptors, though? What about Lowry and DeRozan? I mean, they've looked okay. The best thing about DeRozan so far in the Olympics, in my opinion, has been Twitter, where I see fans tweeting out every time Team USA plays, why is DeRozan on the team? Replace this guy with J.J. Redick. Replace him with literally insert player name here. It's comical. I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to watch on Twitter.
One of his best contributions to the team is his dunking, but it's also the Snapchat game.
Yeah, it's true. Social media has been awesome.
Him and Draymond Green have been just dominating U.S. Snapchat. Just not even U.S. Snapchat, just Snapchat in general. Like, you cannot... if you have Snapchat and you don't have both of those players on your Snapchat, you're not using Snapchat correctly. You're just not.
Well, that might be subjective depending on who you talk to, but, you know, I agree with you.
You see that, like, they're at every game, and they're cheering on, like, their fellow Americans. It's pretty fun to watch, man.
Yeah, they're definitely living life out there in Rio right now. I mean, even a guy like Harrison Barnes, he's played in 2 games only, but like anybody who's been following him on social media, this guy's been soaking in the Olympics, right? He got a free vacation to Rio in the Olympics, okay? He's winning.
I know it's funny, but like just think of it this way. Like Harrison Barnes is on the national team at the Olympics last year, or sorry, not even last year, like last Olympics. You would be considered like insane for somebody to have like same capabilities of Harrison Barnes and be on the national team with, like, Chris Paul and LeBron James.
People, Kevin Durant. People would, like, literally throw out their, like, Make-A-Wish Foundation jokes and be like, what did he, like, Make-A-Wish to be on the Olympic team or something? Like, it would just be bad.
Right, so that's just, like, an indication of, like, the team isn't as good as everybody thinks it is.
That's fair. And I feel like we're just going to keep repeating the same point with that. They're not U.S. great, if that makes sense. Because, like, with Team USA, when you have that on your chest, there's an expectation in the basketball world for that. I mean, they're not asking you to be dream team good or, you know, redeem team good, but you got to be great. And this team
you gotta
feels
win.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, man, Kyle Lowry, no, not everybody is exempt from blame. Kyle Lowry hasn't really been contributing much to the team at all.
Behave, man. Jeez, picking on K-Lo.
I'm here to just like disseminate pretty much all of the blame. Kyle Lowry, what are you doing? Like, what is his contribution on the team? Seriously.
To shoot 30% from the field.
1-2 assists.
Distribute the ball. Hey, he's averaging 4 assists tonight. I mean, stop picking on Kyle here.
Okay.
I mean, you can look. There's some other players that aren't doing too well either. Klay Thompson isn't doing too shit hot. He's, what, 30% from the field, too, and he's not really contributing much else?
Yeah, none of them are playing well, man.
No.
Like, I think the only player that is actually, like, okay, Kyrie. That's about it.
You know, Durant's, like, kind of played all right, considering he's basically made himself a spot-up shooter. And believe it or not, I think Carmelo Anthony's played pretty well.
And DeAndre has played well, actually.
Yeah. But I feel like Melo's played well based off volume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets those spurts where he takes a lot of possessions in a row, and it's just like, it works. It's weird. I think his ISO game favors when the U.S. gets those dead sets, and he can just take over a set. I feel like that helps him out.
Yeah, and, you know, he does benefit from, like, that driving kick stuff where he can just catch the ball and release.
Yeah.
Because of that sweet, sweet jump shot, man. Beautiful to watch.
Hey, he's their all-time leading scorer now, right? Which is crazy to think about.
It's like, it was between him and, like, I think it was LeBron, and it was like LeBron scored 220 points.
Yeah.
And that was the leader for the team. It's not that much.
I know. It's probably, like, your most, like, meaningless stat of the day, but take it to the bank. Before we get, like, way too lost talking about Team USA here, let's get the Raptors. Let's talk about the schedule being released. A lot of interesting stuff with it. I know fans are going to bitch about right away, no Christmas Day game again. The Raptors are exempt from that for whatever reason, which I kind of understand, because to replace them with the Knicks, in a sense, where the Celtics and the Raptors was viewed as the game that we could finally see. You know, the Raptors, Celtics, a little bit of a rivalry there with the trash talk this offseason. Obviously, the two best teams in the Atlantic Division, that could be a Christmas Day game. But instead, we're getting the Knicks and the Celtics.
Dude, and it's, for Christmas Day, it's a ratings thing. You know, everybody that's watching NBA on Christmas Day isn't like us. They're like your mom, you know? They're like your dad or your uncle. They're just people that are just watching it and they recognize the team. So I guess, you know, having the popular teams, even though that they're not very good, being there makes sense financially. Basketball-wise, they're one of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
I agree. Like, I feel like the Raptors, if you put them at home even, I think that game would do tremendously well. Tremendously well.
Yeah.
Like, we saw during the postseason, like, they drew numbers.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, a lot of Canada will be watching, but, you know, the size of Canada can compare it to the size of the U.S.
Of course. I mean, that's natural, but at the same time, I just feel like this team has kind of earned that right now. They've been successful for a little while. They're good. I know they're not, like, riddled with history like the Celtics and the Knicks are, but they're better than both teams at the moment.
That's true, man. I mean, the only Christmas Day game that they got was with, like, Vince Carter. Vince Carter was on the team, I think it was 2001. So that's just, like, showing you, like, the threshold that the Raptors need to break just to have a Christmas Day game.
So they need a superstar, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, VC was a totally different time, man. When I go back and think about that, it was just, he was arguably the biggest superstar in the NBA at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yo, the 360 windmill dunks.
Yeah,
crazy.
Everybody wanted to be Vince.
It's hard not to be, man. Or it's hard not to want to be like him.
Okay, there's some other things with the schedule here, though. I'm just going to rattle off a bunch of things real quick. The Raptors this year, they don't play the dreaded four games in five nights. They got lucky. They avoided that. For those interested, their longest homestand is from November 28th to December 8th. That's a six-game span right there. Their longest road trip is from December 23rd to January 3rd. That's also six games. And for those out there that want to argue about strength of schedule, if you're going to go off ESPN.com's Bradford Doolittle's rankings, he's got the Raptors with the third easiest schedule in the NBA. His rankings are based off the Shoney projection, which is a system that uses player projections and team projections. It accounts for things like regression analysis, team defensive stats. It's a whole bunch of little variables that are added in to create this cool algorithm. I know if you're not a fan of advanced stats, you're going to tell me to fly a kite right now, but for those
it doesn't
of you,
matter,
yeah.
Man. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got to play the games. But for those of you that are, the Raptors have the third easiest schedule according to that. And believe it or not, the Boston Celtics have the easiest schedule. I think a lot of that's just because of how piss poor the Atlantic Division is. So, you know, that's something the Raptors can't control, but at the same time, it's something you got to take into account.
Hey, man, the East is about to turn the corner, man. Believe me.
Yeah, just spare me with that crap. If I hear one more person come up to me this offseason and tell me, the Knicks are for real. That's my favorite offseason storyline.
You know, the two super teams between the Warriors and the Knicks,
yeah.
Man, everybody's talking about them.
Everybody I know that, like, casually watches basketball is like, you're sleeping on the Knicks, bro. Derrick Rose? I'm telling you, he's back. His knees are back. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Is his defense back? Is Joe Kidd's defense back? Like, I don't understand. I'm missing something.
But those two players are contributing to them getting the Christmas game.
Of course. There's actually no denying that part, believe it or not.
Yeah, so you need some sort of like star or storyline coming into that to the season for them to give you that Christmas Day game, and the Raptors just don't have like a special identity going forward, then it's hurting them a little bit, man.
They're a good team that's boring to watch at times. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the games get close, so it gets exciting to watch, but then, like, it's grindingly, you know, they're down. They'll be up by 2 points. And there's, like, 2 minutes left, and, like, we'll just deflate the ball, dribbling it.
Yep.
They shoot it.
Well, they don't really play an exciting brand of basketball. Like, I can think of countless times last year. The most exciting games were usually ones where Lowry took over, and those were the most exciting games. Mm-hmm. Like, is that somebody you could really sell on a Christmas Day?
No. Not really, man.
Maybe not to, like, the American market. To the Canadian market, hell yeah, you could sell us DeRozan even, and we'll eat that up.
I mean, even the Canadian market, they prefer a team that's, like, hardworking versus, like, super talented.
Yeah, that's also true. You wrote an interesting piece about the 5 must-watch games that the Raptors should see this year. Well, Raptors fans should circle out. Any other games that, like, stand out to you, or is, you know, do you want to get into that a bit?
There is a series of 2 games between the Cavs and the Warriors, which are like basically back-to-backs. Like, you go from away, you know, Tuesday against the Cavs, November 15th, and then to home, November 16th, on the Warriors. That's going to be like, I mean, if there's ever been like a trial by fire in the NBA, I'm pretty sure this is it.
Well, you actually forgot a game mixed in there, because November 14th is my birthday, so that would mean it's a trio of good games, because you got the 14th, which is my B-Day, so, you know, that'll be a party game in itself, and then the Cavs, and then the Warriors, so, I mean, it's a, three-peat for you.
But yeah, it's going to be insane to really see, like, how good the Raptors really are. I mean, before even that Cavs game, they're playing the Knicks, which is another super team, so.
Yeah, who forgot about that?
It's going to be a gauntlet.
Jeez.
It's going to be a gauntlet.
And if you want to go and you want to put all those games into 1 week span, they get Oklahoma City, at Oklahoma City. So they'll get the full-blown Russell Westbrook experience.
Yeah, there's a bunch of pretty good games. You know, they get to play the Portland Trail Blazers a few times, which would be interesting to watch. You know, like those guard versus guard matchups. I love seeing CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard.
Likewise. I highlighted a bunch of games here as well. Like, I even got a Minnesota highlight on December 8th, so Raptors fans could watch Andrew Wiggins come home and play. I know that's always
Carl
a good
Anthony
draw.
Towns.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say Cat, too. I think December 12th is an interesting game. I know you're not a fan of Milwaukee, but the whole Thon Maker experience that happened this offseason with the whole age gate and, you know, trying to figure out every little thing about his life, he returns to Toronto on December 12th. That might be a fun game. It'll be his first game back here, and he played high school ball here, well, his last 2 seasons, so.
Yeah, it's just, he's an interesting character, just all the entire story of Thon Maker is just, like, he's, like, basically half myth at this point, because nobody really knows how old he is.
Well, man, there's an Instagram video that came out a few days ago. I forget the player, but he went up to him, and he asked him how old he was, and he just started laughing. He's like, are you older than what they say? And he just, like, chuckled.
I think he knows. I mean, you have to be self-aware at this point, so I have a feeling like just not saying anything is the best decision for him. You know, because if he's younger and he says, I'm younger, man, and then people will dig deeper, and then they'll, like, you know, they'll just, like, disturb his life. And if he's older and he says he's younger, then people find out. And if he just doesn't say anything and he just lets it die out, I think that's the best thing for him.
It's a no-win scenario. I don't know what he can say that will help anything, you know, because everybody's just going to be skeptical about it.
Yeah, as soon as like something like that is brought up with a player, especially when they're from Africa, like it happens with European players too, but it's more prevalent with African players, there's no way to escape it, because as soon as you start to decline, or if you start to play worse, like age 27, people be like, I told you.
And for what it's worth, it was actually a Celtics rookie, Jaylen Brown, that asked Thon Maker. Mm-hmm. So
he's trying to come at it. Oh my goodness, dude! The ire that the Boston players have been arising for me, like the Boston in general, like this, the Boston team has become like this Eastern Conference secret. Like they're just like a secret villain right now.
Yeah,
a little bit of a secret villain.
Which I'm completely cool with, because that would mean the Raptors and the MLB rivals, and I would love to see that.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I would love to see. Oh, here's another game on the schedule, with that Raptors game between the Celtics and the Raptors. I think it's December 9th, yep. On a Friday.
Yeah, December 9th at Boston, and then January 10th they welcome Boston here, which I'm sure will be a very, very good game.
It's gonna be. Especially in the away games, you know, the Boston crowd is, like, really rambunctious, man. They're super loud.
Yeah.
I can't wait for somebody to just get, like, a chicken wing, or somebody gets, like, a little shove. And
I'm sure Damari Carroll will have a few choice words for Jay Crowder.
That one person bumps somebody's chest or somebody takes exception, it's going to... Woo! Dude, I'm going to have to set that for the PVR.
Oh, 100% that one. I'll be watching that game a few times, even with League Pass. Two other games I think Raptors fans should circle on their schedule, or on their calendars per se, is January 24th, the San Antonio Spurs come to town. You know, Tim Duncan kind of abruptly retired this year. Obviously, there was rumblings, but it came out of nowhere. Ginobili, Tony Parker, these guys could be next. So if you've appreciated the Spurs' dominance, like I know we both have, you never know when these guys are going to be gone. So that's a game that I think people might want to go see, just in case those players do retire after the season. And then March 16th, Oklahoma City. Who doesn't want to see Russell Westbrook this year?
Absolutely. Who doesn't? That's a genuine question. Who doesn't? Because he's basically, it looks like he's going to put up like an Oscar Robertson type of line this season.
Yeah, I think he could easily put up like a 28-9-8, which is freakish.
That's probably going to be another team I'm going to be watching all season. I mean, I'm going to be watching the Raptors and Warriors all season. I might just tune into Watch the Thunder just to see if, like, Russell Westbrook actually just turns into, like, a lightning bolt every time he tries to dunk it at the rim.
Which I think he will.
Because he's going to be going 150% just to show, like, not just Kevin Durant what he's missing out. Just, like, the rest of the league. Showing everybody, like, this is what I can actually do. When he's one of those players that thinks he's the best player to ever grace the floor.
Yep.
You know? So he's just going to be like, yeah, watch me put up 40 tonight, 40, 10, and 10, 35, 16, and 5. That's pretty much what he's going to be looking like this season. At least I think he's going to be looking like that this season.
I think two other teams that people are going to want to watch, obviously the Knicks, because the storylines are going to be great. Whether they fail or whether they succeed, you're going to have good, like, the drama, the storylines, the narratives are going to be awesome. And a team from a basketball perspective I think is going to be a lot of fun to watch, because they're very underrated, in my opinion, is Utah. I think Utah's got a lot of good things going on there, and I feel like people are going to watch them and be surprised.
You like the Jazz this season?
Yeah, I love what they got going on. I mean, you got Gobert, who's going to be healthy for a change. Last season he was all banged up. Hayward in a contract year. Dante Exum will be healthy and playing. Now they have a point guard. They got George Hill, which people may not like his game all around offensively, but he's a solid point guard that plays defense and distributes the ball, which I think will fit in well there. I mean, Shelvin Mack was good at the end of the year for them, but he wasn't a starter. Now he can come off the bench and kind of be in that second unit. And then you got one of the most underrated power forwards in the league, in Derek Favors, who's just super efficient. Like, they got a lot of things to like there.
You also have Gordon Hayward and his beautiful hair.
Well, and his beautiful contract year, too, you know?
Oh, it was his contract year for him. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so you know he's going to want to play for a max deal. He'll get it regardless, but a little more incentive to, you know.
Remember when he got signed to his contract, and it was like, if Gordon Hayward's getting, like, $15 million, you know, anybody could be getting it. And now, like, now people are getting, like, $30 million, $30 million a season.
Well, Gordon Hayward's going to be one of those guys, man. He's already being talked about as one of the, like, top five free agents for next year.
Yeah, I mean, if Mozgov can get what he got, you know.
Man, if Mozgov can get that, I can get half of that. Mozgov didn't even play.
Yeah, like, if I can sit on the bench and then you can give me, like, $2 million. Give me the minimum.
I'll take half of the league mid to fill their Gatorade cups. How about that?
They can afford it, dude.
Yeah.
Billionaires own the team.
This is true. Is there anything else in the schedule here you want to talk about? I feel like we've kind of highlighted the games to watch, things to keep an eye on.
I got the best game. Just to, you know, nothing feels better than looking at, like, your conquered foe. December 20th, Tuesday, at Air Canada Center. Raptors versus the Brooklyn Nets. This is get to watch the corpse of the Brooklyn Nets, the enemy team that once defied and beat the Raptors. You get to watch them just like be like one of the saddest teams in the league. No draft picks, Brook Lopez, and that's it.
Do they win more than 15 games?
That's a great question.
I know.
Even lost. Even lost Joe Johnson, bro.
They have nothing.
They have nothing. Like, it's just Brook Lopez.
Sean Marks is literally building that thing from the ground up. Literally.
Yeah, because they have no draft picks, so they're just trying to get, like, anybody that looks like they can play. Let's see if we can get some playing time.
They might even hold open tryouts.
It's Brook Lopez and basically Jeremy Lin on that team.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Jeremy Lin doesn't exactly play defense. If Jeremy Lin's, like, your go-to guy, you have bigger problems, in my opinion.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun to watch that just because we're better than them and we once had a rivalry. But rivalries don't really exist when one team dominates the other team. It's just going to feel, you know, it's just going to feel good. It's like you guys were once on our level. one time. And then you guys also took Vince Carter from us. We'll be taking pleasure in.
Oh, you're going way back now, jeez.
Yeah, man, I just like rubbing it. I just like crushing my rivals into dirt.
Yeah.
Absolute dust.
I'm all about that.
You don't see anything else?
Not really. Like, I mean, a lot of the same games. You got back-to-backs. You got other interesting teams coming to town. But after the big guns, like Golden State, Cleveland, you know, even like, I guess, I'll put San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Minnesota. And I only say Minnesota because of Wiggins. I feel like fans are going to be like, yeah, the rest of the games are fun. Like, unless you're like a hardcore basketball fan, you're not going to get like too into it. You're just going to be happy to go to Raptors games. And really, if the team's winning, you'll love it. And if they're losing, you're going to complain about it. Because our city's full of cynical fans.
Oh, man. If they start losing, they'll be like, man, I can't believe we signed DeMar DeRozan to this contract.
And then we re-upped Casey for 3 years. Whose idea was that? Fire this guy. It'll be the same stuff.
Why did we extend Kyle Lowry?
Yeah. Thank God he's a free agent. I can already picture post-game calls.
Oh, dude.
It's not as bad as, like, Blue Jays post-game calls. Those are the funniest. They can blow a team out. They need to bunt to win. I don't understand why they're just trying to jack the ball in the park all the time. That's the funniest. I don't know how Mike Wilner does it. Seriously, I don't. Like, God bless that man, because he's got one of the most loving and hating, like, dude, it's a love-hate relationship. So I feel for him.
But this year, I think the Raptors fan base might actually be feeling a little bit of fatigue with this team. If they don't make the finals, basically, or if they don't at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and looks like they might be taking a step back this year, man. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, that's debatable. The thing with that is like the first time in a long time since Vince Carter missed that fadeaway against the Sixers. There's expectations attached to this team this year.
Right.
There hasn't been that in ages. And I know you're on the whole step back kick. We're going to get into that in a second here because I know you think the Raptors need to take a step back to take a step forward later. But this is the first time they've had expectations in a long time.
So it's like, what is the expectation right now? I want to hear it from you.
In my opinion, it's get to the second round.
Well, we just made the Eastern Conference Finals.
I know. No, I get that part, but... Dude, they can't, you know, making the Eastern Conference Finals was a lot of things went right. I think they should have made it because the East was so bad, but at the same time, like, a lot of things still went right. I'm not going to sit here and be like, it's Eastern Conference Finals or bust. Get to the second round and let's see what happens. I think that would be a good season.
Who is better than the Raptors in the East right now?
Cleveland's better than them. I think you could make a case that Boston's equal, maybe not better, but equal. I know people are going to say the Bulls because the Raptors and the Bulls have
the
Bulls, BS curse and all that crap, you know.
Why can't they beat the Bulls, dude? It's like actually like this weird curse that they can just never win.
There's no good reason for it. And if they can't beat a Bulls team that's based around Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, and Dwayne Wade.
Wade. We need to abandon hope if we can't beat them.
Yeah. And I know people are going to be like, man, the Pacers got better. Paul George effect.
Really.
Like obviously Paul George is a guy that you can never count out. But aside from that, they're kind of the same team. Like
Monte Ellis is a year older, still can't shoot the three.
Yeah, Thad Young can't shoot at all. I know people are enamored with Thad Young, but he's just a guy that can rebound. He's an old-school player. He's like a 90s player. He's like what DeRozan is. So he's good, but he's not somebody who's going to push the needle, in my opinion. I wouldn't fear him.
They didn't get better. The Hawks got worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Coach Bud in Atlanta, he's got that Spurs blood in him, and he just finds a way to make things work. If Dwight Howard plays like old Dwight Howard, are they not better?
Can you play as old Dwight Howard? Dwight Howard's in his mid, like his early 30s right now.
He's also got a lot to prove this year. I'm not saying he will, but I think it's something that we should consider at least.
You could consider it, man. He's a center at age 30, and he's had back surgery.
Yeah, he's not exactly mobile anymore. Okay. But at the same time, like if he puts up, let's say, 14, 10, and 2, like two blocks a night, I feel like that could complement well with what Millsap does. You know?
Okay, but they also lost Jeff Teague, so they're gonna have to figure out how Dennis Schroeder like actually plays, like how he orchestrate if he can orchestrate offense.
Yeah, no, I'm totally cool with that part.
So yeah, man, it's just like
obviously it's a stretch. It's an all around stretch in the East,
right? So shouldn't the Raptors be making it back to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I feel like they should, but I personally feel that making it to the second round would make this a successful season coming up.
Okay,
I get what you're saying, though. I get your argument of saying that, like, they should make the Eastern Conference Finals just based on what the landscape of the Eastern Conference is.
Right, and then, like, next season, are we making the Eastern Conference Finals again next season?
Depends, right? It depends if Lowry's still here, Patterson. There's a lot of moving parts for this team. And I hate saying this because every damn fan of every team says this. We're one player away. And I know. I just said that. But it's true, is it not? Like, man, I've fallen into this trap.
Yeah, you fell into it, man, because everybody thinks we're one player away. What is that? Who is that player?
There's a variety of guys I could pick out of a name like that you could add, but they're not realistic players that are coming. Look, right. You know my true feelings on this about how to build a winner in the NBA, and Mark Cuban was spot on with this. Unless you draft these guys and that requires you to tank or just be really lucky at the right time like the Spurs were with Tim Duncan back then, you're kind of SOL because guys like the LeBron Jameses, the Kevin Durants, I know they did both leave in free agency at one point, but those are anomalies. These players barely ever leave to go play somewhere else. So unless you draft them, you're kind of screwed.
All right, so say hello to the NBA treadmill, bro. Welcome to the second round of the playoffs every year.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't feel like that's a bad thing for the Raptors, though.
You don't? You just think the Raptors are... Like, what are you... When you're the Raptors, man, or if you're an NBA franchise, like, what's your ultimate goal here? Like, what are you... Are you striving for relevancy, or are you trying to win the championship, or, like, what is it?
I think that really depends on ownership. And we've seen time and time again in Toronto sports where ownership has an agenda to make the bottom line first. They want to make money, and then championships will come after that. Now, obviously, MLSE, who owns the Raptors, has shifted that a bit with the Leafs, where they've started to invest a bit more and try and put a winning product on the ice that can actually contend for a title. They're still years away from that, but maybe they'll do the same with the Raptors. I mean, they raised ticket prices again this year, so.
Right, so they have to be good, right?
Yeah.
Just to justify it, because the Leafs have, like, a built-in fan base, you know, they're the Leafs. The hockey.
But is second round not good?
It's good. You know, it's good, but, like, okay. Like, eventually, I mean, I would feel eventually, you know, we get knocked out in the second round for, like, the third year in the row. Or let's say we make it to the second round and we get knocked out after making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but, like, we keep losing to Cleveland. Like, okay, you know, like, we're Clippers East. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I think we are the Clippers of the East. I'll make no bones about that. I think they are the Clippers of the East. Where
right.
They're good, but they're not great.
Right, but then, like, the luster is going to wear off, dude. Like, what is that what the management is striving for? Are we just trying to be good for a short, like, for a long period of time? Or is there ever, like, a championship in the Raptors' future? Like, is the fan okay with just being good?
I think so. I think they'll be okay with that because you look at other franchises in sports, like, obviously, they're more historical, but other franchises have gone years without winning a title, and they've had loyal fan bases, like the Cubs, who are still in a drought. The Red Sox, for years, were like that. I mean, the Lakers, when they weren't winning anything, fans were still flocking to them. Those are obviously historical franchises, But I feel like the Raptors being the only team in Canada, that will always help them maintain a strong fan base.
Yeah, but they don't even have, like, that story. You know, there's no, the backstory is Vince Carter.
No, I know that. Well, they're only, like, 21 years old, right, as a franchise, so they still got to develop a lot of that stuff.
Okay. So this is, like, the era of the good Raptors before great Raptors. Like, will there ever, like, is there a Raptors?
Hold on.
I can't even think of the timeline on which they become the great Raptors. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's going to be a while. But when you look at the whole entire NBA, there's only really two really good teams right now. It's just the Cavs and the Warriors. Everybody else is just playing in this league to play in it. If you're going to get, like, really technical about what success is. So, can the Raptors beat the Warriors? Not a chance, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody can. Can they beat the Cavs? If LeBron's hurt, maybe, yeah. But if he's, like, healthy, I don't see how. So, success for them this season, that's why I think it's the second round. Because realistically, they can't beat either of those teams.
Okay, we chill in the second round. Okay. Make it to the second round. Great. Next year, we're drafting into, like, the 20s. You know, LeBron is a year older. Warriors, who knows, because Kevin Durant's actually only on a 1+1, so you might get pissed off. Like, hopefully, we have a Kobe Bryant and Shaq scenario in the dreamland that is Warriors.
That'd be ideal.
Right? But if there isn't, then the Warriors are still like a monolith for, you know, the next 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years. What's the point of being in the playoffs? Just like doing nothing in the playoffs. This is like ideal time to tank.
Okay. If you're the 28 other teams in the league, though, you can ask yourself the same question. What's the point of playing almost, right? Like, tank. In my opinion, there's three scenarios here with the Raptors. They can either be good, like they are right now, and compete and be like second round, you know, slip into the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe get lucky 1 year and make it to the finals if the Cavs have, like, injuries and whatnot and LeBron goes down. That's one scenario. The other scenario would be tank, like what you're saying. So they'd essentially be bad for, what, probably 2 to 5 years. That's assuming they hit the draft picks. And then you're assuming that those players that they draft are actually going to work out. There's never a guarantee with that, right? Like, we've seen the Sixers whiff in the lottery. So there's never a guarantee you're going to get the number one pick. And then the third scenario, in my opinion, would be they get really lucky and a guy like Kevin Durant, like you just said, opts out and magically signs with the Raptors.
Okay.
Two of those three scenarios are very unlikely and very risky.
Right? Like, when you were talking about, like, the other teams, like the 28 other teams could just, like, do the same thing and just tank. The difference between the other teams, like the Nuggets or, like, the Thunder or even the Knicks, right? Obviously, the 76ers and the Lakers, like, they got upside, right?
Wait, what?
They had, like, at this point, like, they suck, right? They're terrible right now, but they have upside.
I think you're being generous with some of those teams, but okay, I see what you're saying a bit.
You don't, the Lakers have upside. 76ers have upside, right? The Knicks have Porzingis, right?
Yeah, no, it depends who you talk to, too, because fan bases always have a bias towards their prospects where they feel that their prospects are the best of all time. When really, like, they're probably good, but there's no guarantee they're superstars.
If you don't want to include the Nuggets, I like Jokic.
I love Jokic. I think he's a great player. And you know my feelings on Jamal Murray. Ever since watching him play in Kitchener, like, from high school on, he's a stud. And I think he'll thrive in the NBA.
Right. So they're in the – so if they're – like, say right now they're tanking. Like, they have upside to their tanking. Like, they have prospects. Right now, the Raptors, like, there's no prospective way of getting better than they are right now, right? And they're just, like, a second-round team.
Well, that's also why tanking doesn't make sense, because they literally trade – they have to trade everything. Like, literally strip this thing down.
Not really.
Who do you keep?
The best two players on the team, right, are, like, the players that are not going to get better on the team, basically. Like, DeMar DeRozan, I guess he can, like, the Olympic leap could happen to him, and he becomes this three-point shooting dynamo that crashes to the rim, right? But that seems unlikely, especially when we're seeing how he plays right now, and Kyle Lowry is on the wrong side of 30.
And there's another player missing.
And Damari Carroll is also on the wrong side of 30.
Nope, not him. There's somebody else you're missing, in my opinion.
Who else is there? Because Jonas is, like, 23.
Yeah, that's who you're missing. I feel like Jonas Valanciunas is somebody that could take that next step forward to help the Raptors, you know, become that perennial Eastern Conference Finals team you're talking about right now. We saw how much havoc he wreaked last year in the playoffs, right? And I'm not trying to fall in love with that performance, but at the same time, that can make a big difference come playoff time.
Okay, man. Like, his abilities in the post have not been explored at all. And, like, that's what his leap would be. And from what I've seen in the Olympics and in history, it's not. It's like he has the potential to do it, but he has not been realizing the potential at this point in time.
Yeah, there's no argument against that, but I feel like that potential is still there, which makes him somebody with upside to what you were saying earlier.
But then if we're waiting, like, let's say a year or two for Jonas to become good or, like, better, like a great player or something like that, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are going to be in decline.
Well, I don't think Lowry's a part of their long-term future anyways. I think he's a part of their immediate future, which would be, what, 3 to 4 years?
Okay. 3 to 4 years? I mean, he's 31 right now, no?
Yeah, I don't think they can sign him for more than, what, 3 and an option? 4 years max.
He's 30 right now. And unless he's going to do the Raptors a favor and, like, take less years and less money, you know, they're going to have him for, like, 3 or 4 years, maybe. 3 or 4 years. At 34? Do you want to be playing $20 million, $25 million? He's only making 12 now.
I know, it's a real question.
So, like, the future of the Raptors franchise is so, like, it's so muddied. And, like, it's just, like, I can't think of what they do. You have to figure out which step you want to take.
Of course, but I think given their current roster construction, they'd be smart to kind of stay the course and try and add another player. And if they don't add another player, so be it. They didn't add another player. They're going to have to rebuild anyways, right? So instead of rebuilding, why don't you just keep trying to add another guy?
Okay. We'll pray for Russell Westbrook to come out.
That's not going to happen. But like your argument's kind of faulty in a sense where it's like 28 other teams in the league do not have the parts to beat those two super teams. Unless they get like player A. Some teams need player A and player B. Like, there's only, like, I'd say maybe, I'd say 4 or 5 teams that are legitimately one player away.
Okay.
Like, Boston, we could say, is one player away now with Horford there. I feel like we could say the same about the Spurs. The Spurs are one player away. Like, they're still great, but they're not the same, you know, holy shit, we got to play the Spurs anymore, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, okay, we got to play the Spurs, we can beat them. Like, Golden State kind of showed a bit that they could, you know, they could beat them.
Athleticism, yep. Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. I feel like Minnesota, you can make an argument, is arguably one player away.
Oh, my, yo, the Minnesota hype is getting out of control.
It is.
I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about, in general, the Minnesota and Karl Anthony Towns hype is just, like, crazy right now.
Yeah.
People think he's, like, the next coming of a... Elijah one, bro. Seriously.
No, there's no argument. I mean, it's been unreal, the amount of hype that Cat's receiving this offseason. Well-deserved. All well-deserved, but at the same time, let's slow down here.
Yeah, man, so I'm confused on the Raptors at this point. I just don't know what to do as the Raptors. Like, stay the course and just, like, stay, like, a playoff team or, you know, a risky trade. Maybe you do some sort of blockbuster trade.
Not yet. Like, I feel like with the salary cap going up again, and then it'll finally cap out, they'd be smart to just stay the course and keep trying to add pieces. Because here's the other part of it. The new CBA in 2017, once that comes into effect, there's going to be certain teams that are obviously going to feel the wrath of that.
Right.
Probably the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Yeah. Which means that other pieces and other teams are going to start to maneuver and make... It's going to be a shift, right? Like, there's going to be a tectonic shift within the NBA, and the Raptors may either benefit from that or they may feel the wrath of it, right? I just feel like they should wait till then to make, like, the grand, you know, long-term decision.
Okay. All right, man. I'll stick with you for now. For another season, I'll stick with you guys.
I feel like you kind of have to, though, right? When you look at the landscape of the NBA, it's kind of like if you tank, you literally need to blow this thing up into oblivion. And just collect assets. But there's no guarantee of that working because people still criticize the Sixers to this day saying Sam Hinkie was an idiot for tanking every year and trying to blow it up and get the number one pick.
I know.
Now, like, you could argue that it worked, right? Obviously, we don't know because we don't know what Ben Simmons is yet. But you could say that his strategy at least worked in theorem.
Right. So, I don't know, man. I'm not convinced either way. I mean, I'm not convinced moving forward with the Raptors.
Well, what's
and like
what's
there's
the
no
trend?
there's no guarantee that they would get better, you know, next year.
There's no guarantee they get better if they tanked.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just
there isn't. I'm like, just, what if they get a bad draft here? The number one pick is like, God forbid, it's the Greg Oden Kevin Durant situation where the Raptors take Greg Oden, and you know we saw what happened after that.
Okay, when you plan on, I guess success thing is like a serious question now, because if you're the Raptors, right, what defines success for the Raptors? Is it winning the championship or just remaining relevant? Like, I need to know that question. I need to know the answer to that question first, because if you know the answer to that first, then you can make all your decisions accordingly.
Okay, I'll give you the ownership answer. Playoff revenue, because it's so much more. It's extra games. It's national TV audience. It's American national TV audience too. So playoff revenue is gigantic. And I feel like if they can get that every year, it's a success.
Okay. But then, okay, and then at that point, if you're the fan, do you keep watching the team if it only like makes it to the second round of the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I feel like the fans would love that. The playoffs, it's hope. It may be false hope, but it's still hope.
Okay.
I feel like people just want a chance. Like, people buy lottery tickets every Friday because they think they're going to win, even though the odds are stacked against them, but they're still going to do it. If the Raptors get in, you know, they got a chance. They made the second round. There's a chance. If this goes right and, like, this happens, who knows? They can make the finals. How many times do you hear that in every sport? Fandom knows no limits.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Like, just getting there, they're going to be like, we got a shot. Just that feeling alone. And then being able to go to Raptor Square and making it into this event of, like, every spring when the Raptors are in the playoffs, you know, people party, they have a reason to go out and watch games. Like, I feel like all that matters to people. It's just, but it's a reason.
In basketball, it is so starkly, like, you could see the difference between a great team and a very good team just by, like, who the best players are on the floor.
Of course, and that's like, why there's only two great teams right now.
You don't really get that in, like, you can kind of get that in baseball, like, you know, if you have a great shortstop or, like, you know, if you have an ace pitcher or something like that. Like, in basketball, you can have one dude that completely changes the game. You don't get that in any other sport. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, the only other sport you could, like, make, like, a faulty argument would be football, because the quarterback's so important. But you still need the other 21 guys to come out and produce.
Exactly. Like, if you had, like, for example, I know this is, like, an extraneous example, but, like, is what we're talking about, like, really special circumstances where teams win, like LeBron James or even Dwayne Wade. Their teams that they had brought to the finals were, like, complete garbage. Like, especially LeBron, when he brought, like, Mo Williams when he was an all-star. Mo Williams was an all-star, and he brought that all the way to the finals to play against the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then he left that team, and they were utter trash, dude. Like, that's just, like, the difference between, like, a great player, like, what a great player can do to your team versus just having, like, a collection of very good or good players.
So what are you saying? The Raptors should hold out till they get that kind of player?
I'm an all-or-nothing type of person when it comes to basketball. I'm like, you're trying to win the championship. That's what it is for me. Right? I don't know. Maybe my view of basketball is different from, like, your average fan, especially your Toronto fan. Like, I just don't see the pathway right now to the championship for the Raptors, other than stepping back, like, other than trading stuff away. But it's hard to do that, man, when you got the fan base, we the North, you know, we the other as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. But at the same time, like, in my opinion, when you say things like that, you're basically, in comparison to the rest of how the NBA is shaped out at the moment, 28 other teams should just forget playing, because the Warriors and the Cavs are just way better than everybody else. So, you know, just forget playing, just tank.
If you're an owner, it's hard to do that, dude.
Of course.
I mean, like, if you just looked at it just, like, objectively, it's the correct decision to make.
Yeah, but let's be real, too. Like, these guys definitely get around together in a room, and they, like, start planning for next season. They go, how the hell do we beat Golden State?
Right.
It's, like, it's definitely demoralizing.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at it, you know, I'm a Toronto fan, but I'm not, like, a rabid fan, you know. We're, like, we're NBA fans. Like, we understand, like, how the NBA works, right? We like Toronto. Toronto's one of our favorite teams, if not our favorite team.
Yeah.
But we also understand, like, really win the championship, like, there's certain components to a team that you need.
They don't have Raptors. That.
Yeah, they just don't have those components.
Yeah, and again, I feel like only two teams do. I know I've been saying it a lot this episode, but really and truthfully, only two teams do. And I feel like that second team is even missing some pieces to defend against that first team. And obviously I'm talking about the Cavs struggling with the Warriors. I just feel like the Warriors are just head and shoulders above everybody.
Yeah. We'll see, man.
I'm okay with that.
We'll see. Yeah, okay.
Like, I'm okay with the Warriors, if Toronto, like, being that much better.
That's another thing. Just like, that's a whole different discussion within itself. But
yeah, it is. Because, man, there's a lot to talk about there.
CBA is probably going to be designed to punish them.
The CBA, like, too.
Seriously,
oh, without question. Remember what happened when the Heat made the big three and the CBA came in to basically annihilate them?
They couldn't get a center.
Well, now they got a big four.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do now? They're going to strike. I think they're going to strike 100%.
It's probably going to be a strike, yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, so if Toronto's happy with being in the middle of the pack, I'll, you know, just, like, somebody just give me the phone call, you know? Somebody give me the phone call so I can orient my expectations.
I feel like they're okay with that. I genuinely feel like that maybe not middle of the pack, like, slightly above it, but that's where they are.
All right, Toronto, slightly above. That's who we are, slightly above, baby.
Don't you think so, though? Like, based on the way the whole NBA is shaped right now, like, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. Like, you know, there is some glory in being one of the better teams in the league. It's not all the glory. Some of it, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're going to be like the Memphis Grizzlies here, but, like, one step above that, you know? And who knows? Maybe they'll fluke out. And Durant will opt out, like you're saying, with that whole fight. And, yeah, we'll get him on Toronto. There's the big
that'd
spike
awesome.
Dream. Oh, yeah, that'd be more than awesome. He'd be a god in this city.
He would surpass Vince Carter so quickly. It's not even funny.
Yeah, and that's probably where I woke up and you woke up, and then we ended this podcast because that's the biggest pipe dream that we've had in a while.
All right, man, you can end it.
Yeah, on that note, guys, it's been fun. I mean, anytime we bring up Kevin Durant to the Raptors talk, you gotta end. It's only fitting. Like, he's got a 1-1, though. He's got a 1-1. We're out of here. If you like what you're hearing, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. If you want to reach out to myself, you can reach me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. If you want to reach out to DeMar and tell him why his theory of success with the Raptors is faulty, you can reach out to him at Tamar J. Grant. And please, guys, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. I know I mentioned earlier, but don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.